Well, here is a poem for Epiphany. It was written at the beginning of the year 2000, when some people, you may remember, were saying that we should not be celebrating the new millennium because 2000 was really the last year of the old millennium. But we did it anyway. The poem is by U.A. Fanthorpe, and it's called Not the Millennium. Wise men are busy being computer literate. There should be a law against confusing religion with mathematics. There was a baby. Born where and when? The sources mention massacres, prophecies, stars. They tell a good story, but they don't agree. So we celebrate at the wrong midnight. Does it matter? Only dull science expects an accurate audit. The economy of heaven looks for fiestas and fireworks every day. Every day. Be realistic, says heaven. Expect a miracle. Now, much scholarly energy has been spent on the story of the visit of the wise men to the infant Jesus. Who were these visitors? Were they kings or astrologers? What star did they follow? Was there a comet in the sky at the right time? And if not, how did the star manage to lead them to Bethlehem? And what were they doing in a house, not a stable? How many of them were there? Three gifts are mentioned, but that does not necessarily mean that there were three visitors. Tradition has numbered and named them, and they have featured in many a nativity play. But the gospel story is reticent about these matters. Matthew is simply not interested in the details of the identity of the travellers. Matthew's story, you see, is not about three kings or even three magi. Matthew's story is about two kings. One of them is your typical world ruler, bullying, paranoid, keen on the use of force. The other is something very different. The ancient world was full of stories of miraculous births, of magical babies who grew up to be heroes. And the story of the birth of Jesus was, in one sense, nothing remarkable. But when Matthew sets Jesus over against Herod, he shows us something entirely new. He shows us a different kind of king. Now, it's often been pointed out that these wise men are not all that wise. Their star leads them astray, and they go looking for the new king in the palace of King Herod. Herod thinks of himself as king of the Jews, though he is a puppet of the Roman authorities. His reign is fragile. When the exotic visitors turn up talking about prophecies and kings of the Jews, of a new prince being born, Herod's reaction is what we might expect from an insecure ruler. He decides to find the new king and kill him. The not-so-wise men have endangered the precious child whom they are seeking. Matthew's story shows the precariousness of God's plan. The birth of the new king has depended on the unlikely cooperation of a Palestinian couple, and it now depends on the reactions of some foreign visitors and on the child's parents to get him away from Herod's murderous intent. We know how the story continues, so we forget to notice how close it comes to ending before it has begun. The new king is fragile. He has no army to defend him. The visitors eventually find him in an ordinary house in a politically insignificant village, to which they have been led by an unlikely, tiny pinpoint of light in the sky. The child Jesus is vulnerable, at the mercy of human beings, some of whom are already trying to kill him. Well, the visitors give him expensive gifts, but they're not much use to him. What he needs, and fortunately what he gets, is their obedience to the voice of God and the initiative of his parents. There is no fanfare as the new king leaves his home and goes out into the world, only a silence that will soon be replaced by the tramping boots of soldiers and the screams of mothers and children. Herod, you see, so nearly succeeds in snuffing out the new king's reign before it has begun. Matthew shows us a miraculous birth of a new kind. It may be heralded by angels and attended by exotic foreigners, but its success hangs by a thread. God does not come into the world in glory, obviously, demanding attention. The way God chooses is much more hidden and much more grounded in reality. God comes quietly, almost unnoticed, unguarded, endangered from the start. And God puts himself at the mercy of human beings with a precarious plan that so nearly comes to grief. The wise men, or whoever they are, go on their way, and the child and his family become refugees. Behind him, Herod goes about his killing. But a star has shone above the baby, and he is, Matthew tells us, the fulfillment of all the hopes of God's people down the ages. He will not grow into a king like Herod. He will not live in a palace or sit on a throne. His reign will be very different and far more powerful in its own way than that of any earthly ruler then or now. As the poet writes, "Be realistic," says heaven. "Expect a miracle." And why not? This is still, after all, the world into which God was born. And we still honour the baby whom we believe to be a king, unimaginably greater than Herod or the Roman emperor, whose kingdom is characterised not by power and suppression, but by grace and peace. As we look to the coming year, perhaps fearful, perhaps cynical, why not expect a miracle?